The Public News Service Daily Newscast, January the 28th, 2021. I'm Mike Clifford. President Joe Biden signed an executive order this week ending the federal use of private prisons. But our Eric Tegedoff reports the order does not extend to privately run immigration facilities, including the Northwest ICE Processing Center in Tacoma, Washington.
Formerly known as the Northwest Detention Center, the facility is run by GEO Group and is one of the largest in the country. Maru Mora Villalpando is a community organizer with the group La Resistencia, which has long called for the center's shutdown. She sees Biden's order as misleading.
This is not the solution to the immigration detention enterprise that has been built. And now we have to push him and his entire administration to start phasing out private detention and ultimately close all detention centers.
The president's executive order is a continuation of an Obama-era policy. It directs the Justice Department not to renew its contracts with private prisons. More than 14,000 people are housed in these facilities. As of 1 year ago, 81% of people detained in ICE custody were held in privately owned facilities, according to the ACLU.
Washington state lawmakers are considering a House Bill 1090, which would ban private for-profit detention facilities. Other states, including New Mexico and Maryland, are also working on banning private prisons. MarketWatch reports Ameritrade has restricted access to GameStop, AMC, and other securities as retail traders continue to send the markets for a loop. Fox Business adds the market did give the retailer's stock a bit of a slap in the face after hours trading ended with the stock falling 9%. The Dow Jones down 600 points Wednesday for its worst day since October of 28th. North Dakota families facing hardships could see some relief from state lawmakers with a bill that calls on the state to cover school meal expenses for all students over the next 2 years.
This week, the House Education Committee heard testimony on the bill. House Bill 1413 would set aside more than $80 million in legacy funds to ensure each public school student has access to free breakfasts and lunches through the school year. Supporters say it's a response to increasing need, but also to help end lunch debt shame for lower-income kids. Chrisanna Peterson, a parent and paraprofessional at Mandan High School, believes more families need this help than one might think.
I have seen families who don't qualify for free lunch struggle to pay for lunch, and sometimes the kids don't eat. Even middle-class families can struggle at times to pay for lunch.
The bill's sponsor says despite enhanced federal lunch aid during the crisis, the state can offer a cushion for families as the pandemic subsides. I'm Mike Moen.
This is PNS. Now our producers file a pair of reports to follow up on President Biden's package of executive orders this week designed to fight climate change, curb pollution, as well as addressing environmental justice. We begin with Mark Richardson.
The directives establish a new Federal Office of Climate Change and a National Climate Task Force to work on global warming, renewable energy, and public health. Dr. Scott Williams, director of the Healthy Environment Alliance of Utah, believes any plan to cover these issues must also focus on bringing benefits to all Utahns.
The health effects of the burden of pollution has been visited primarily on disadvantaged populations. Poor people, people of color, indigenous people, and that's true in Utah. I think it's really important that as we solve this, we need to make sure the solutions are just across all populations.
The administration is directing 40% of clean energy investments toward underserved and marginalized communities.
The Colorado chapter of Green Latinos welcomes the trove of executive orders signed by President Joe Biden this week. Ian Tafoya with the group says Coloradans in rural areas, small towns, and cities understand something more needs to be done to address more powerful and frequent wildfires, prolonged drought, and other impacts of a warming planet.
And their concerns about the climate crisis. I hear lots from them about wanting to be part of this coming green revolution. And I think there is a huge opportunity here laid out for all of us in Colorado, urban and rural, to benefit.
Biden's sweeping orders include investments in communities affected by pollution and other measures aimed at building a net zero emission economy by 2050. Oil industry groups see the moratorium on new oil and gas leases on public lands as an attempt to delay drilling until it's no longer viable, which they claim will cost jobs. Others say even more needs to be done and faster to avoid the worst impacts of climate change and seize on economic opportunities of a clean energy transition. I'm Eric Galatis.
Finally, some Kentucky lawmakers are proposing a statewide voucher program based on tax credits so families can send their kids to private schools. But there's more to the story. Here's Nadia Romligon.
House Bill 149 would give donors like major corporations a special interest tax break for giving money to privately controlled organizations that use the funds to pay kids' private school tuition. Critics say that would drain $25 million from the state budget in its first year alone. Fayette County Public Schools teacher Jenny Bolander says she understands why some families choose private schools, but thinks public tax money shouldn't be used to pay for them.
We've had textbooks cut for the past 2 years. We've had no professional development funds. I think Title I got reduced. It's just a lot.
The funding gap between students in wealthy and poor districts in the Commonwealth is now almost $3,000 per student.
This is Mike Clifford for Public News Service, member and listener supported, heard on great radio stations all across the nation and online at publicnewsservice.org.